This is The After Party, live with Kim McAllister. Pick a couch, grab a drink, and settle into the conversation.
Everybody, welcome to the After Party Live on this Thursday. As we like to say it, the former KGO, Friday Eve. Everyone excited about the last day of the week. So it is Thursday. It's Trivia Thursday. And I'm excited to tell you that today's trivia category will be TV trivia. So that should be fun. Current TV mostly, just in case, because I know everyone is of different ages, and depending on what was on kind of during your era, you know, that's the one you're the questions you're good at. But I thought we'd go with current TV, so we all kind of have a level playing field. We'll see how it goes. I saw this story, it just came out a little while ago, and it is about the Oakland International Airport. And I don't know if you guys saw this pop up, but it turns out that San Francisco has now slapped Oakland with a lawsuit over the name change of the airport. Now, just in case you don't know how I feel about the name change, I think it's not very bright. I think a lot of people are going to be confused when you change it to the San Francisco Bay Oakland International Airport. I think it'll be confused with San Francisco International Airport, and I don't think it's a good idea. And there's nothing wrong with the Oakland International Airport. I've flown out of it. I haven't minded the name at all. The argument with the commissioners at the Port of Oakland is that a lot of people in other parts of the country don't know where Oakland is. And so they don't fly or choose to fly into Oakland because they don't realize it's right across the bay from San Francisco. I think that's really silly. I mean, we're in the age of the internet. All you have to do is, Oakland. See, the flights are cheaper in and out of Oakland. Wonder where that is. Oh, look at the map. 20 minutes away from SFO. Okay. Depending on traffic, right? So the city of San Francisco today, San Francisco city attorney, hit Oakland with a lawsuit for changing the name of the Oakland airport. And they said they were going to do it, and they mean business. The lawsuit says the Metropolitan Oakland International Airport seeks to increase passengers and profits by rushing to unlawfully incorporate San Francisco International Airport's SFO trademark name into its own. Oakland Airport's actions, they say, ignore SFO's longstanding protected mark, brand, and identity, violate federal and state intellectual property law, and disregard the legal infringement and consumer confusion its actions create. Oakland Airport's hasty, unnecessary efforts and refusal to engage in discussion of alternate names have left the city and county of San Francisco no choice but to bring this complaint against the defendant, City of Oakland, acting by and through its Board of Port Commissioners for federal trademark infringement, false designation of origin, and unfair competition. The federal trademark infringement lawsuit filed today in the U.S. District Court in the Northern District of California. And so, San Francisco and Oakland at war over the name of San Francisco. It seems silly to me and so lame that Oakland would try to pull this. I just don't get it. Let's see what you guys have to say. Sandy says, yeah, putting San Francisco in the name of the Oakland Airport will cause confusion. John says, I'm still calling it Oakland Airport, whatever official name is they have. Karen says it's a bogus reason that would only cause trouble. Mo writing, is it the San Francisco Airport is not in the county of San Francisco? Interestingly, even though the San Francisco International Airport is what, in Brisbane? It has been designated part of San Francisco. And so that land right there, that San Francisco Police Department patrols that, right? So technically, even though it's not adjacent to San Francisco and it's a little ways away in San Mateo County, it is part of San Francisco, the way they have it all set up. Karen says, Oakland renamed it because Oakland has a bad reputation, crime-ridden and violent, and that is why they changed the name of the airport, because Oakland has a bad rep. Things come and go. I mean, maybe Oakland has a bad reputation right now. Clean it up. It hasn't always been that way. I would say I would give pause to flying in and out of Oakland, knowing what's going on along the road to and from the airport. I don't know. Doug says, I agree. Oakland should be independent and on itself for sure. It's a great airport. It is. I mean, it's easier to fly in and out of Oakland, right? It's not as big, not as busy sometimes. It's a little less complicated. The weather delays aren't constantly affecting, like the low ceiling of clouds and fog at SFO seems like they have a lot more delays there. So if you want to fly out in and out on time, if you want a more, an easier ingress and egress, a lot of people think Oakland Airport, Oakland International Airport, is the way to go, regardless of what's going on along Hagenberger. Wes says it's like New York. You can fly into Newark, JFK, or LaGuardia when traveling to New York. Right. And if I wanted to know which one was the closest to my end destination, I would compare prices, what's cheaper to fly in. And then I would look at, well, what's going to be easier to get to my hotel or get to wherever it is I need to be in, you know, if I was having like a meeting that I needed to get to quickly or something, right? You look it up. It's not that hard. I mean, it's the age of the internet, people. Come on. Karen says, if Oakland wants more people landing at Oakland, they need to clean up their act and clean up the crime. Teacher Lori's like, no, not a great use of city funds. The lawsuit or the name change? Well, maybe you mean the lawsuit. Trevor says, how about Oakland SF Bay? I think anything with the name San Francisco, because it's already in use across the bay, isn't going to work. Now, if you said, how about Oakland East Bay, I'd be like, okay, sounds good. Keep the name San Francisco out of it. Otherwise, it's confusing. I just think you can't have double up on the name. SF Tesla, hello. He says, when words get around that there's trouble in the Bay Area airport, property values will tank. I don't know about that. Do you think the airport name has to do with property values? Maybe. Maybe you're seeing something I'm not. I don't know. Karen says, my car got broken into when I flew out of there once. Never again. What a mess. I think you probably mean Oakland, right? John writes, Oakland is not as bad as the media makes it out to be. San Francisco has a bad reputation if you listen to faux news and other biased media outlets. This is true. This is very true. I mean, if you look at what's going on Hagenberger with the car rental company saying, don't stop at gas stations there, the In-N-Out closing, right? All the places up and down Hagenberger going, oh, not safe, not safe. Yeah. Uncle Jim, 99, says, would anyone really be confused by San Francisco being part of Oakland's name? Hint, what was the winning drop in Mark's Madness? 30 to 35% of people are idiots. Yeah. I mean, here in the Bay Area, maybe not. We know the difference, right? Although, I think in just general conversation, if Uncle Jim were to say, hey, Kim, can you pick me up at the San Francisco airport? And I would say, Uncle Jim, you got it. I'll be there. And I roll on over to SFO. And then I get a call from Uncle Jim going, what's going on? You said you're going to pick me up. I'm waiting out here with all my luggage and I've got gifts for you and the kids. And I say, Uncle Jim, I'm at SFO. Where are you? I'm strategically parked waiting for your call so I can circle around and grab you. And he's like, where are you? I'm at SFO. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm at San Francisco, Oakland. See what I mean? I think it could even screw us here in the Bay Area. I don't know. Teacher says, call it Oakland International Airport. Easier than SFO. Come on. Karen says, I'm going back to California next month, arriving at the Oakland airport. I like it much better than SFO. I'm telling you, it's a lot of people say that, Karen, that it's easier to come in and out of Oakland. Just don't stop on Hagenberger when you get off the out of the airport and get in the car. Either go a different way or don't stop. Make sure you time it so you get all green lights. Mama Day Three Boys says, Oakland Bay Area? I would have no problem with that. Oakland Bay Area, Oakland East Bay Area, whatever. I think they're being very stubborn about it. You know, they got this ultimatum from San Francisco, and then they just kind of threw down their pride and said, no, we can do whatever we want. And now we have a lawsuit over it. Walter says, people are already confused enough. As to Uncle Jim's point about the idiots, right? Karen says, if you're going to book a flight to San Francisco, aren't you going to explore Google airports? Yes, you are. You're going to look at the map before you arrive. Don't most people? If I'm going to a place I've never been to before, I'm looking it up. I'm looking at where's the airport. Because a lot of places, say I'm flying into Maui. I'm flying into the OGG airport, right? The Maui airport. It's quite a ways from wherever it is I'm probably going to stay. I'm not going to stay in Kahului. I'm going to go stay probably over in Ka'anapali. At one time, I would have said Lahaina. So that's going to take me a while to get there. So I would always look up where it is that I'm headed, especially if I've never been there before. Come on. Hey, Wes, he says, is it the San Francisco Bay Area? People refer to that all the time, and it's not necessarily San Francisco proper. It is, although I still think you got that name San Francisco, and it's going to be kind of the bane of all of our existence if we name both airports with San Francisco in the title. Maybe not. Maybe people are smarter than I give them credit for. Doug says, hey, San Jose actually has the best airport. Because of my location in the wine country here in the North Bay, I think I may have only flown out of San Jose once, and it was only because they had the cheapest tickets to somewhere, wherever it was. And so I drove all the way down to San Jose. And that was it. That's the only time I've ever flown out of that airport. So you're probably right. Mineta San Jose Airport? Yeah. John says, yeah, Hagenberger's pretty bad. I stayed in a Hagenberger hotel once. Nice hotel, but it was isolated. Eh, I don't know. Oh, Doug says, I think Oakland works just fine. Yeah. What do you mean the O in SFO doesn't stand for Oakland? No. Can you believe it? No, it's the last O in San Francisco, isn't it? Maybe not. I don't know. Sandy says the Bay Area has three airports in three different areas. No confusion between them. You either fly into SF, Oakland, or SJ. Why fix what isn't broken? Exactly, Sandy. You've hit the nail on the head. Why fix what isn't broken? Precisely. John says people that mistakenly go to Oakland instead of San Francisco are the same people that fly to Austria instead of Australia. That's pretty good. Yes, agree. Oh my gosh. Okay, 35% idiots, yeah. I'll tell you. And the thing about this whole story is, and this lawsuit, is it's so unnecessary. Because as Sandy said, why fix what isn't broken? Everything was fine. Why'd y'all have to go mess with it? Please. I mean, do we not have enough problems in the world? You have to manufacture one? Come on now. John says, I was in the car with an Uber driver, and this woman started freaking out when I said I was from Oakland. She said her husband told her, you can drop off in Oakland, but you don't pick up in Oakland. What? Oh, because everyone in Oakland's a criminal? Oh, lame. No. No, thank you. Ren says, call it Oakland. I call the Giants Stadium in San Francisco Giants Ballpark. There have been too many name changes, too many Oracle Parks, right? At some point, you just stop with all the names. Come on. John's got an easy fix. He said, if you accidentally fly into Oakland, you can always jump on BART, get to the city, get to San Francisco. It's probably faster from the Oakland BART station anyway. Yeah, I agree. Sandy got it right. Why fix what isn't broken? And so now we've got this problem to deal with in San Francisco. Sorry for going on so long about that, but man, I'll tell you, it's so frustrating to me. Speaking of airports, though, and this is something I wanted to talk about because, you know, we're all about the islands here on the After Party Live, a little tropical vibe to the show. And I wanted to tell you about what's going on at the Kona Airport. They've got a problem at the Kona International Airport, and it's a crack on the runway. Look at that. They had a problem with the crack on the runway, and they fixed it. Even though they had to stop traffic for a couple of hours, this was the first time it happened, I think April 12th. So at the Ellison Onizuka Kona International Airport at Keahole, They had to stop operations for 2 hours on April 12th to fix this crack in the asphalt. This is a single runway airport, all right? And the runway opened later that day. They found it because they were doing a routine inspection because of overnight rain. They went to look at the runway. They found this big crack problem. So they had this travel advisory. And in January, the airport had to close for 2 days after they found cracks in the pavement then as well. The flights were canceled and rerouted, etc. So now at Kona, what they want to do is a more long-term repair solution to this crack. They want to replace the entire 11,000-foot runway. Why do I mention this? Because, my island-loving friends, if you're flying into or out of Kona coming up, double check, look ahead, use that lovely thing we call the internet to make sure that you won't be affected by this, because I think they're going to be doing some runway work. It looks like they'll do it from midnight to 5 a.m. so that maybe it won't be impacting daytime airplane traffic, but just note that this is underway. Gotta give you some Hawaii news, right? You know, we've been following the story of the orca whale, this 2-year-old orca calf called Brave Little Hunter. She was the one that was in this lagoon off Vancouver Island in Canada when her mother got stranded near the sandbar, her pregnant mother, and died. And so now this 2-year-old calf has been swimming around in this lagoon. The efforts to rescue her have been vast. They've tried underwater noises to scare her back out into the open ocean. They've tried to corral her. They've tried all kinds of things. And so they were going to scoop her up in a kind of a basket, in a crane, and lift her into a pen. Well, this is all on hold now. But I was in the scope of following up on the story and keeping tabs every day. I look up Brave Little Hunter and see what's going on with her. I saw this article about this man who has some advice for the rescuers here. And that is, he said, you need to build up a rapport with this orca calf, that instead of pursuing her, that you need to connect with this calf, that you don't want to build a so strong a bond that she becomes attached to you. But apparently, you know, you've tried different things. Every animal's different, he said. He's got all kinds of tips. He said, he talked about one time, and he's a guy, and here's where the story gets a little murky for me. He's a guy that used to catch orca calves and take them to aquariums and other places, like, I don't know, SeaWorld-ish places. And so he's an expert at separating the orca calves from their mothers and then swiping in, you know, scooping in and stealing the orca calf out of the sea for research, for our entertainment, for whatever else. So he talks about this one time he took a orca calf, and he said, he tied a rope to a stick and threw it out and gradually drew the orca closer and closer to the boat. So what they were able to do with this calf, he said, was to then start rubbing her down in a way that she would present her tail so that we could put a soft tail line on her and then catch her with the least amount of stress possible. He goes on and he talks about the ways he would love to get out there and help him. And one of my pet peeves, and you guys, I love animals, especially wild animals. I don't necessarily love pets. I'll just tell you that. I have a pet. I have kids. I have pets. But I was raised in a way where my mom thought pets were too much trouble. So some people, like my husband, raised with dogs all the time, and they could never have a house without a dog, right? And so now I'm part of this relationship, and fine, let's have a dog. But this rubs me the wrong way. So I guess I really am an animal lover. I saw the movie Blackfish, and when I realized what was happening to these orcas, I immediately thought, I'm never, ever taking my kids to SeaWorld or the place in Vallejo. What is it now? Discovery Kingdom. Used to be Marine World Africa USA. Never doing it. I'm not giving my money to people that would treat animals this way. And here's a guy that has done the evil work of taking these baby whales away from their mothers and plopping them into these tanks. And so right away, I'm thinking, ew, you're the guy that did that? Who could do that and hear them cry for their mothers? He says he eventually became disenchanted with the industry and the justification that keeping orcas in aquariums was helping educate the public. So now, he said he recalls the high-pitched vocalizations made by orcas when they separated the young calves from their mothers. He said it sounded like babies crying. So after stealing them, he's had a change of heart. And now he's working to establish a sanctuary in Nova Scotia to house orcas that were once held in aquariums. So he's trying now to make up for his wrongs. Do we forgive him? I don't know if I forgive him. I kind of hold it against him. I'm a little judgy on that one. I don't know how you could do that or how you could ever think it was right. Come on now. Yes, Calvin, we have Charlotte the dog, and I do love her, I have to say. Deidre says, I refuse to take my kids to SeaWorld for that reason. Yes, I do. I did let Julia go on they had a sixth grade trip, but I didn't chaperone it. I wouldn't go there. I didn't want her to miss out because her whole class was going, but I won't take them there, right? We don't go there on a family outing. Karen says, they have the intelligence of a teenager, maybe even higher intelligence. Karen says, only God can judge. Maybe I shouldn't be judging. I just feel so angry at people who could do that to animals. So, Teacher Lori with a good point, as always, sweeping in, saying, so now his knowledge can help make up for past sins by helping with rescues. And that's what he's trying to do here. He says he understands that they want to rescue Brave Little Hunter by themselves. And they want to make it happen, but that he's ready to help and ready to put his knowledge to work. And he does have knowledge. He was pretty good at stealing these orcas out of the sea. So, I mean, maybe you use that. I don't know. Yeah. All right, off my soapbox. Thank you, Lori, for that. Let's move on. Let us move on, because we need to make room for Trivia Thursday. Speaking of animals, let's move right into animals. I don't know if Vilma is here. I thought I saw a comment from her yesterday that we do too much on animals. So Vilma, if you think that, or if you're here, write me and let me know if that's true, because maybe I'm too animal heavy. If you guys think that I am, then please tell me in the chat. This is a show where it's definitely community input. I'm so open to your words and your comments and love getting messages from you. Let me just tell you again, kim@theafterparty.live, kgoinexile@gmail.com, or kimmcallister@gmail.com, 2 M's, 2 C's, 2 L's. So many ways to email me and let me know. So I always appreciate your comments and your thoughts on the show, because it is an evolving thing that we're doing here. But I wanted to tell you about this snake on this train. For people that have been to Japan, they know they have these bullet trains. You can see them here. And they are famously on time. Like, they mean business. There's no mess. This is not the Bay Area. It's not, you're not standing around waiting for a BART train. They are very, very on time. Except when somebody found a snake on a train and they had a 17-minute delay. I know, gasp, right? 17 minutes. The snake was found in a passenger car. The train arrived in Tokyo from Nagoya, and its departure to Osaka was called off when a passenger found a 16-inch snake slithering through the passenger car. So they had to take the train out of service, causing a delay for more than 600 passengers. They had to get another train in there. The snake eventually captured. The exact type of snake hasn't been revealed yet, but they're investigating how in the world this ended up on the train. They say it's difficult to imagine wild snakes somehow climbing aboard the train at one of the stations. And they do have rules against bringing snakes into the Shinkansen, I guess is their the name for their train service, but they say they don't check passengers' bags. Who would bring a snake in their bag? Ew. I mean, I have a lot of crap in my purse. I can tell you, unless there's a real accident or something happens, there's not a snake in there. A rubber snake. I have had a rubber snake in my purse. Plastic snakes. Yep, I have. That's all true. Did you see this story about, I mean, there's, when you think of Montana, you may think about elk, moose, bear, these types of animals that wander into the roadway. What about an elephant? No? Yeah. This elephant was galloping through town. He escaped from a circus. I mean, hard to be upset about that, right? There's a traveling circus in Montana. And this elephant got free. Her name is Viola. The circus is the Jordan World Circus. So on Tuesday, Viola busts out of this circus and she goes on a romp. She goes walking down the middle of the street in very, very heavy traffic. It's no see that every day. The sheriff said Viola was spooked by a passing vehicle. It was a car, what do they call it? Backfiring. Sounded like a gunshot, right? Freaked her out. She makes a run for it. And so people are capturing photos and videos of her time on the run. Coworkers are saying, there's an elephant. We ran out the door, finally caught a video of the elephant coming through the parking lot. The elephant did cause minor damage to a storage area at the Civic Center where the circus was going on. But they say they're grateful that everything and everyone was unharmed. The elephant, Viola, was caught by her handlers, safely returned to the circus, and all ended up being well. But I feel bad for Viola having to be in that circus anyway. I'm telling you, perhaps I am an animal lover after all. Animal rights groups PETA and PAWS said Viola's escaped from this circus before in 2010 and 2014. I'm thinking Viola wants out. I don't know about you guys. I think Viola's done. She doesn't want to be there anymore. You know, put her in the elephant sanctuary and just let her live her good life. She's done with you. There's a story about feral cats. This one's for Reagan. These feral cats live at the presidential palace in Mexico. And they are loved, beloved, these cats. Yes, they languish, they hang out. They are, some people say, a symbol of the presidential palace. And now a new declaration has been made in Mexico giving the 19 feral cats roaming the presidential palace food and care forever. There are, again, 19 of them at Mexico's National Palace, and they walk around the gardens and the hallways. They have access to every part of the palace. Can you imagine if there were cats roaming all over the White House? They walk in on meetings, interviews, wander on camera. And, you know, this is just the way of things. No one bats an eyelash. People used to bring them food from home. They would bring them rice. They would bring them ice cream cones, all kinds of things. And they're getting kind of chunky, these kitties. So this new declaration, they have a palace veterinarian now to care for these cats. They have diets for them now. They have special little feeding containers all over the place. The Mexican president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, declaring them to be living fixed assets, the first animals in Mexico to receive this title. So in doing this, he has now obligated Mexico to give these cats food and care for the rest of their lives, even after he leaves office. He says the cats are now a symbol of the National Palace. Just as we understand this world, I wouldn't understand the National Palace without the presence of these cats. This is the general director of the National Palace and Cultural Heritage. He said, we have to make sure they're taken care of, and so they have. So the 19 feral cats that live at Mexico's National Palace are now protected for the rest of their lives. Kind of interesting. Love it. There, we've talked about these monkeys before. These monkeys in Thailand, they can be brutal. As a matter of fact, they've injured some people, these monkeys. They want food. And when they see that you have food, they'll take it. They've scratched people. They knocked down a woman. And that's when people really started getting upset with these monkeys. So now there's a new plan in Thailand. The popular tourist town of Lopburi, they're not really willing to deal with these monkeys anymore. For a while, it was fun. It was cute. It was fine. It was annoying, but they dealt with it. And then when people started to get hurt with the human-monkey conflict, they had had enough, right? One lady was pulled off her feet while they were trying to grab food. Another was knocked off his motorcycle by a hungry monkey. So the new thing is to round up 2,500 urban monkeys and put them in these massive enclosures. And here's what the enclosures look like. They're going to put them in these big monkey houses. And that's it. They got one. There's just little fingers out there. What do you think? I mean, you can't capture them and release them somewhere else to, you know, create mayhem in another city. If you don't take them far enough, they're probably coming right back. So the work is underway. They're working with wildlife experts to find a way for a limited number of monkeys to stay at liberty in the city, but taking most of them and putting them in this monkey habitat. The leaders in the city say, listen, we don't want humans to hurt monkeys. We don't want monkeys to hurt humans. And it's come to this point where they've had to launch this official monkey catching campaign, prioritizing more aggressive alpha male monkeys. Those are the ones they're trying to catch. So far, they've rounded up 37 of them. Most of them are under the care of wildlife authorities. Others are sent to a zoo. They're going to try to capture the rest of these monkeys once the enclosures are complete and built, especially the ones that are roaming around residential areas. They say separate cages are prepared for different troops of monkeys to prevent them from fighting. These huge cages will be able to contain thousands, and they think it's going to solve the problem really quickly. But the monkeys are a symbol of this province. They have the Monkey Buffet Festival. They're a classified protected species under Thailand's wildlife conservation law. A lot of people are blaming people for this, for feeding them. People are blaming tourists and residents for feeding the animals, which drew more monkeys into the city, then increasing their numbers there. Then they got accustomed to getting the food from humans. So maybe it's our own damn fault, really. But when they tried to limit the feeding of the monkeys, it made things worse. They tried to threaten people with fines for feeding monkeys. So, I don't know. They're trying to say, look, monkeys aren't villains, but we do have to do something about this. That's what's going on in Thailand. Last animal story of the day is about cloning. And this is about cloning these endangered ferrets. Here they are. Kind of cute little ferrets. Adorable. These ferrets, there are three of them now. Two endangered ferrets are gene copies of one ferret that was frozen in the 1980s. So the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says two more black-footed ferrets have been cloned from the genes used for the first clone of an endangered species in the United States. They're identical, genetically, to this single animal frozen in the 1980s. And so now there are three cloned ferrets roaming around. The first clone, named Elizabeth Ann, was born in 2021. That one apparently failed. But the recent births of the two more cloned females, one's named Noreen and one Antonia, is increasing hopes for diversifying the endangered species. They want to have genetic diversity. They say that can improve a species' ability to adapt and survive despite disease and environment. So Here they have cloned these two. I don't know if you clone an animal if it can reproduce. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. But the gene pool is really small. And all known black-footed ferrets today are the descendants of, apparently, seven animals. So diversifying the species, they say, is really important. I guess they wouldn't have cloned them if they couldn't, they didn't think they could reproduce. The biologists are planning to breed Noreen and Antonia when they reach maturity later this year. Science takes time. Doesn't happen instantaneously, they say. Cloning makes a new plant or animal by copying the genes of an existing animal. To clone these ferrets, the Fish and Wildlife Service worked with zoo and conservation organizations, the same in a business that cloned horses for $85,000 and pet dogs for $50,000. So, yeah, here he is, or she is, little cloned animals. I'm afraid I won't have time for Trivia Thursday, so I do want to get right to it. And I have a new little, I'm very excited about my new little things I've made. Look at it. Trivia Thursday, after party style. Here we go. If I don't do Trivia Thursday, I know some of you really like it and some of you will get upset. Sometimes I feel like I wait too long to give the answer, but then when I give it too quickly, even though there may be some space in between, then I don't wait long enough. So hopefully we'll get it right here. Three cloned ferrets. When will it end? I don't know. All right, Trivia Thursday, and this week's category is TV. TV trivia. Are you guys ready for this? Yeah, let's do it. Here it is, TV trivia, after party style. I have a little TV picture for you. Look at that. There you go. All right, you ready for the first question? I have it. Here it is. Hold on. I don't like that question. Which TV show is set in the fictional town of Hawkins? Which TV show is set in the fictional town of Hawkins? Do we know? Trevor says, I really like it and I will get upset. Okay, we're doing it. Here comes Deidre. Yes, Mama, it is Stranger Things. Mama got it. Karen got it. It's not Gunsmoke. Good try, though. I appreciate the participation in that. It is Stranger Things. Yes. Mama, first in. Nicely done. All right. Second question. You guys ready for this one? Who played Tony Stark in the Marvel Cinematic Universe films, which also led to a TV series cameo? Who played Tony Stark? This one should be pretty easy, I think. Even I could get this one. Uh-oh, Deidre doesn't follow current TV. Oh. Yep, it's Robert Downey Jr. Well done, Karen D. Mama got it. JT got it. Oh, a lot of you got it. Yeah. I think Karen D was the first on that one. Deidre even got that one. See? Something for everyone in this. In which TV series is the main character a chemistry teacher turned methamphetamine manufacturer? In which TV series is the main character a chem teacher turned meth manufacturer? I think this is another one that's kind of easy. Yep. John got it. Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad. These must be really easy. That's okay. Because I think, you know, obscure TV ones are like, that's not fun, right? Which show follows the lives of employees at Dunder Mifflin's Scranton, PA branch? All I should have to say is Dunder Mifflin. You guys should know it, right? Everybody got Breaking Bad. That was good. Yep. JT got it. Deidre first with that one, The Office. That's correct. You are correct. What's the name of the coffee shop in Friends? What's the name of the coffee shop in the movie or the series Friends? Yep, Sandy's on it. Central Perk is right. It was the Central Perk. And Jim got it. And Wes and Ren. Nice. Yeah. Good job, you guys. Well done. I wish I could throw confetti at you. Who is known as the Mother of Dragons in Game of Thrones? Who is known as the mother of dragons in Game of Thrones? Sandy says, I'm a huge Friends fan, still watch it every night. Oh, that's cool. Yes, but we need a name, Karen D. This is true. Mother of dragons. Dragon mom? No. Kind of, but no. Yes, Eileen gets it. Daenerys Targaryen. That's correct. Eileen, what a win. Which animated series features a family with members named Bart, Lisa, and Maggie? Come on. This is about how fast you can type. Bart, Lisa, and Maggie. Do we know? Yep, The Simpsons. Looks like, ooh, good, fast typing, you guys. This is Karen pops in with that first. She's a wicked fast typist. JT, Deidre, Sandy, Cecilia. Nice job, you guys. Hey, while we're playing trivia, please click the like button. Thanks for doing that. Which TV show features FBI agents Mulder and Scully? I know these are kind of easy. I'm sorry. Mulder and Scully belong to which FBI show, TV show? Yep, it's The X-Files. John, first to jam it in there. Sandy, that sounded dirty, didn't it? My bad, I'm sorry. Sandy as well. Wes goes in. Jim goes in. This, I think, is a typo, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, because I notice C is right next to X on my keyboard, so I'll go with that. What is the name of the fictional paper company? Oh, no, I'm not reading that because we already said it. Who played the iconic Walter White character? Who played Walter White? Do we know? Who played the iconic Walter White character? Deidre doesn't know. She says my brain stopped. Oh, no. Not that. Mama got it. Got it. Mama got it. Bryan Cranston. That's right. Yep. Bryan Cranston. Excellent. On what show was that? I think that was that Breaking Bad? I think it was Breaking Bad. Yeah. What TV show, get ready, this is a fast typing question, starred Sarah Michelle Gellar as a vampire slayer? What? I don't even want to repeat it. What show starred Sarah Michelle Gellar as a vampire slayer? Yep. I'm going to give it to you if you just typed in Buffy. Deidre says Buffy. Buffy, Buffy, Buffy. You guys got it. Yep. Although Jim's the only one that typed the whole thing out. And Calvin. Good job. Okay, next one. In How I Met Your Mother, what instrument does Ted steal for Robin? In How I Met Your Mother, what instrument does Ted steal for Robin? Not a tuba. It's not a kazoo. Lord, no clue. Not a guitar. I'm going to give you this one. It's like the one hard one we have in the whole thing. Never saw How I Met Your Mother? All right. The answer is to this one. No, not a flute. It was a blue French horn. So there you go. Which 90s TV show features a group of young people living in New York's Greenwich Village? See if you can get one from the way it's asked. Bassoon would have been good, but no, it's the French horn. Which 90s TV show features a group of people living in Greenwich Village? Yes, it is Friends. It is Friends, Friends, Friends. Who gets it first? I'm going to say Karen D with Friends, followed by Deidre. Nice. Okay. Which animes are known as the Big Three? Which animes are known as the Big Three? This one I wouldn't have known. But I'm not a big anime person, so. Which animes are known as the Big Three? Any animes fans out here? No. No clue about anime. Not this one. Dragon Ball? No. Space Cowboy? No. I might have to give you this one. It's like either you, these are, if you even know TV trivia or you don't, right? Either you've watched it or you haven't. One Piece, Naruto, and Bleach. I would not have known it. What is the fictional town in which Parks and Rec is set? The name of the fictional town in which the show Parks and Recreation is set. You got to give some choices. Uh-oh. I don't have choices on this one. Deidre doesn't like that show. Not a fan. Nope. Yes, Eileen gets it. It is Pawnee. That is correct. It is Pawnee. Which show has a main character named Jack Bauer? I like this show. Which show has the main character named Jack Bauer? Let me know. Yeah. 24, says John. 24. 24, 24. Mm-hmm. That's right. You guys got it. Next question. What is the name of the high school in Saved by the Bell? Any Saved by the Bell watchers? What's the name of the high school in Saved by the Bell? Yep. Sandy knows. Bayside. Bayside High. That's right. Mama got it. No, it's not Walt Whitman High. Bayside High. Good job. All right, next one. Which show follows the lives of surgeons at Gray Sloan Memorial Hospital? Lives of surgeons, Gray Sloan Memorial Hospital. That should be kind of easy, I think. Yep. Grey's Anatomy. John got it. Nice. Grey's Anatomy, yeah. Okay. This is a fast typing question. Who's the bartender at Cheers? First and last name, preferable. Not the actor, the name of the character. Who's the bartender at Cheers? Yeah. Sam what? Sam. No. Yes, Sandy, it's Sam Malone. Well done. I don't know. Sam, it's Sam Malone. Yeah. That was such a good show. Who is the star of the TV series Hannibal? Who plays Hannibal in Hannibal? Anybody watch that show? Who plays Hannibal? I've never heard of this actor before. Yeah. Mads Mikkelsen is his name. Well done, Elise Inzerio. Look at you. Nice. Okay, here's a good question. What is the name of the spacecraft in the show Firefly? What is the name of the spacecraft in the show Firefly? Do we know? This is a kind of a cult classic. Yeah, Serenity is the name. Good job, John. USS Firefly. No. That was a really good guess, though, Karen. That was a really good guess. Serenity. I'm going to keep going for a few more minutes if that's okay with you guys. You want me to keep going with trivia or do you want me to move on to stories? Because I could keep going and going and going. USS Castle. No, it's a Serenity. It's just a Serenity. Another question. Which TV series revolves around a plane crash on a mysterious island? I watched this one. I was not... The story got convoluted. The longer you went, you were looking for an answer to all the mysteries, and you never really got a satisfying answer, right? It was indeed, JT gets it, it's Lost. I mean, the show itself was good. The characters were good, right? The storyline, though, I don't know about that. I loved this show. Who is the main character in House known for his diagnostic skills? You always go to the doctor and wish, where's House? Can we get House in here? Who is the main character in House known for his diagnostic skills? They want his full name. The character's name. They, meaning I. House, yes, Dr. House. House, Dr. Obnoxious. He was pretty obnoxious. This is true. Yep, it's Gregory, Dr. Gregory House. Mama has the exact answer, but I'll give it to everybody who answered. Which show focuses on a Baltimore narcotic scene from the eyes of both law enforcement and drug dealing organizations? And I'll give you a hint. This was one of Chip Franklin's favorite shows. Which show focuses on a Baltimore narcotic scene from the eyes of both law enforcement and drug dealing organizations? Yeah, it's The Wire. John gets it. Which show is about the inner workings of the Bartlett Presidential Administration? Another one of my favorites. Which show is about the inner workings of the Bartlett Presidential Administration? Trevor gets it. The West Wing. Such a good show. I think my husband has rewatched this series like 3 or 4 times. Yeah. I'll go, what are you watching? He's like, oh, West Wing again? Which series revolves around a former actor who's a horse? I would not have known this one. Which series revolves around a former actor who is a horse? Are we wanting to keep going with trivia or have we had enough? Sandy gets it. It's BoJack. Yeah. BoJack Horseman. You guys know it. All right. That is correct. In which TV show is the TARDIS? TARDIS A, time machine. In which TV show is the TARDIS A, time machine? Yeah, everyone got that one really fast. Deidre's first. Karen, Sandy, John. Good job. Which show, based on a comic, features a group of kids called the Midnight Society? The Midnight Society. Yeah. Based on a comic. A group of kids call themselves the Midnight Society. Yep. Are You Afraid of the Dark? Did you watch it? Did you like it? Oh. Okay, just a couple more. Who played the character Jack Ryan in the TV series adaptation? Another show I really enjoyed. I forget what network that was on or what streaming service that was on. Was it Netflix or I think maybe it was Prime? Who played the character Jack Ryan in the TV series adaptation? Dude from The Office, it would be correct. But Teacher Lori would be more correct. John Krasinski is correct. John K, yep. I got to give that one to Lori. But yeah, Dude from The Office, well done. You knew it. You just didn't kind of know it, right? I'll do this one because it's local. Which TV series showcases a biker gang operating in California's Central Valley? Which TV show series or TV series showcases a biker gang operating in California's Central Valley? Yes, Elise gets it. Sons of Anarchy is right. Anarchy, yes. Sons of Anarchy. John gets it as well. Well done. Elise first on that one. All right. Last question. Famous last words from me. Which TV series focuses on a math genius who helps the FBI solve crimes? I watched that when it first came out. It was kind of clever. Which TV series focuses on a math genius who helps the FBI solve crimes? Yes, Numbers is right. Elise says lots of eye candy. That's right. Who gets it? We have John gets it. Trevor, Lori, Karen, and Calvin. All right. Well done on Trivia Thursday. Maybe you can do a couple more stories. What do you guys think? How about this one? Let's do this guy. Well done on Trivia Thursday. Nicely done. Well played. I'll have a more challenging category for you guys next week. And if you have any suggestions, you can always email me and let me know what you think. Kim@theafterparty.live, kimmcallister@gmail.com, 2 M's, 2 C's, 2 L's. So please do. Now let's talk about this fella. He looks all right. Yeah. He's a Guinness Book of World Record holder. There he is at the bar. Can we guess? He drank at 120 bars in a 24-hour period to break the world record. He's 69. He's retired. David Clarkson is his name. He was born in Britain, but he's lived in Australia for more than 40 years. And he visited 120 pubs to order drinks in 24 hours. And that breaks the Guinness Book of World Records on this particular thing. He walked into 119 more establishments over the course of the following 24 hours. 120 is what he did. He started at a place called Captain Cook Hotel, but he goes into 120 establishments over the course of 24 hours, ordering a drink at every single stop. Now, he doesn't have to drink them, but he does have to order a drink. And in some cases, you can see him sipping it. He had some witnesses that accompanied him, especially during the middle. There was a person from the Guinness Book of World Records that came along, certified the whole thing. He took the title from Australians Harry Kouros and Joik Loiterton. They visited 99 pubs in 24 hours. So Mr. Clarkson, he went for it at 120 pubs. And he gets his plaque, his Guinness Book of World Record plaque. He's got it going on. Nice claim to fame. Right? He's a busy little drinker, is what we can say about him. This is a couple health stories, quick mentions on this. The FDA is recalling heart devices that have been linked to 14 deaths, unfortunately. Not the happy drinker story, as a matter of fact. I call this an inconvenient recall, because imagine this. 2 implanted heart devices used by patients in end-stage heart failure are now under an FDA recall after being tied to 273 known injuries and 14 deaths. It's the HeartMate 2 and the HeartMate 3. Neither are okay. They were manufactured by Thoratec Corp, which is a subsidiary of Abbott Laboratories. About 14,000 of these devices are thought to be under recall. As of now, the 2 devices are not being removed from the market. They're used for both short and long-term support in adult patients with severe left ventricular heart failure. It can be used while waiting for a heart transplant to help the heart recover, or as a permanent solution when a transplant is not an option. They divert blood flow from a weakened chamber and propel it into the aorta, where it flows into the rest of the body. but in rare cases, a clot can form from biological material that builds up in a particular area of this device and doesn't allow it to do its job. It obstructs the device, making it less effective in helping the heart pump blood. It can trigger alarms indicating low blood flow and affect the device's ability to help the heart heal properly. The accumulation of biological material typically occurs over 2 years or more. In the worst cases, this kind of obstruction can lead to injury or death, according to the FDA. They say it's, they've sent letters to all the affected customers. They want them to pay attention to low flow alarms. I don't know. I mean, imagine having this inside of you. Now you have to undergo heart surgery all over again to get this thing out. Man, and you're probably not in the best health anyway. And now this, right? Ugh. I want to make sure that we do this story because I have it as the headline on the show. Did you hear about this situation? This is a kind of a novel tribute, I guess. This is a Metallica frontman. His name is James Hetfield. You probably know who he is. He shared images to tribute late Motorhead star Lemmy. And Lemmy was his kind of musical mentor, in a way. Lemmy Kilmister. He's the singer and, guitarist, at least, of Motorhead. And they had a great relationship. And he really wanted to memorialize Lemmy Kilmister. And so, and here they are side to side, James Hetfield and Lemmy Kilmister. And so their relationship apparently really, really close. Kilmister was the founder and frontman of the British rock band Motorhead, which was formed in the 70s. They released more than 20 albums, including Overkill, Iron Fist, Ace of Spades. Ace of Spades is important here. He died in 2015, just a few days after he was diagnosed with cancer. It didn't take very long at all. He must have been feeling really poorly before he was diagnosed. So James Hetfield, of course, singer, guitarist with Metallica, and he decides that because he's heavily influenced by Motorhead, he's already called for Motorhead to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He said, "With the passing of Lemmy, it's really important for me to see Motorhead acknowledged because there's no more rock and roll person on this planet than Lemmy." So fans are calling the newest tribute that James Hetfield has come up with the most badass tribute possible. And here's what he did. Somehow he was given some of Kilmister's ashes, his cremated remains. And he took them to a tattooist. See the Ace of Spades on his middle finger there. He took them to a tattooist and they took a pinch of the ashes and they mixed it with black ink. And they put this tattoo on his middle finger, which is a kind of a symbol of Motorhead, the Ace of Spades, widely associated with that band. And so now Hetfield says he's still able to fly the bird at the world. Is this a good tribute, you think, or do you think that's gross to have someone's part of their body tattooed into the ink in your finger? I mean, it is an honor. They'll be together forever. Every time he looks at his hand, he's going to think there's a dead guy in my skin. Is he? Maybe. That's what I would think. Is it sanitary even? I don't know. Mixed it together with the black ink. Tattooed it right in there. And they say it's a great honor to have this, you know, your remains be carried around by someone. With them for the rest of their life. I don't know. They spell it with a Y, Lemmy. You got the Kilmister right. Elise loves it. She's all for it. It's a little creepy though, Elise, is it not? I mean, could you have this tattoo and look down at your finger every day? I mean, James Hetfield is covered with tattoos anyway, right? It's not like the tattoo is a problem, but it's the fact that there's somebody's ashes in there. I don't know. So think of it as if it was one of your loved ones, right? Think of your person. I guess it would be kind of a nice tribute, nice way to keep them with you, carry them with you. Somehow he was given, says Laura. Yes. Yeah, some one of the relatives must have given it to him. He said, I was given. They didn't say I asked for it or he willed it to me. They just said he was given. Deidre's not a fan of tattoos, so you're not going to like this anyway, right? John says it sounds like the start of a horror movie. You have the ashes tattooed into your skin, and all of a sudden you start taking on the characteristics of the person who is deceased. Karen says to each their own. I'm sure he's happy with it. That's what counts. I assume the family was okay with it. I assume that he told the family what he wanted to do, and that's why he was able to acquire some of these. Lori says, I've heard of this before. Seems okay. Whatever floats your boat. I'm sure they autoclaved the ashes first. I don't know. I mean, maybe it had to go through some strenuous ink ashes mixing process. I'm not sure. Calvin says the ashes were burned at high temp. I think it's sanitary. Mindy says, I heard you could make a diamond from the ashes of a loved one. I don't think it would be a diamond, perhaps, but I think you can make jewelry and gemstones where you have ashes in the center of some type of glass or something like that. What if your hand starts doing things out of your control? Oh, no. Bo says, that's real rock and roll. No. Liz, not a tattoo fan? Yeah. I'm not either, but here's why. I don't mind them, but I feel like there's nothing I could put on my body that I would want to see there forever, right? There's nothing, like, I don't know. I would worry that I would get bored of it, or I don't know. I just don't want to have regrets. But I think I've seen some beautiful tattoos on other people. Maybe if I was to get a tattoo, it would be something with my kids. I don't know. Karen says, no, you can indeed make a diamond with ashes. I'm a jeweler. Okay, well, I'm believing you, Karen. I thought a diamond was, isn't it carbon? Huh. You would have to have it at a really high temperature. I don't know, Karen. I'm buying what you're selling. You have to send me pictures of your jewelry so I can put it up on the screen. We want to see what you're making over there. Teacher says ashes are carbon and diamonds compress carbon. Okay. All right. I stand corrected. My bad and I'm sorry. And I'm glad we have people in the know here on the show. Liz says, imagine wrinkled skin as one ages with tattoos. What happens to those tattoos? Well, I mean, if they're strategically placed, maybe they'll fall a little bit. What if they're on your back, though, or something? That's not going to get so wrinkly, is it? I don't know. And would you rather see a picture rather than wrinkly skin? Some would argue maybe that's more attractive. I don't know. Yeah. Well, interesting conversation. Oh, I think I also mentioned Sesame Street. So let me get to this one story. I guess, what's the song? Sunny days, keeping the clouds away, right? They're not happy at sunny. It's not sunshine out on Sesame Street. Apparently, they're having some trouble there. And so the writers of Sesame Street are apparently ready to go on strike if a fair deal isn't reached. The picketing could begin outside the Sesame Workshop offices in New York next week if a fair new collective bargaining agreement is not made in time. That according to the writers for Sesame Street, who unanimously voted to support strike actions if a deal isn't reached after 2 months of negotiation over pay and union coverage. The writers are like, no, we're not going to take it. They are requesting industry standard annual raises, improvements to their residuals, union coverage for the organization's animation and social media segments as well. So Sesame is a global not-for-profit organization that, of course, produces TV kids shows, right? So not only Sesame Street, they produce Helpsters and the Not Too Late Show with Elmo. All of these things. So if it goes ahead, the writer's walkout would follow the months-long strike by the Writers Guild of America and SAG-AFTRA. I mean, I tend to think, though, parents and families would be affected by this. And it also, though, for a nonprofit, makes Disney seem to be in a bad light, that they're not taking care of their people right. So, I don't know. Yeah. Speaking of this whole thing, I saw a really funny meme. We do memes tomorrow. We'll have meme of the week tomorrow. And I saw a picture of Elmo and the Cookie Monster. And the meme said, "My dad doesn't know the name of Cookie Monster. And so he calls him Cold Elmo." Because he's blue. It was funnier to me in the moment than it sounds right now. Cold Elmo. Here's a picture. Maybe it's not as funny as I thought it was. It sounded kind of cute at that moment. Because they do kind of look alike. If not, one's hot and one's cold. All right, enough of me and my ridiculousness. And I've kept you way too long. My bad, and I'm so, so sorry. Wow, an hour and 11 minutes. Boy. So please send me your meme of the day or a meme of the week for tomorrow. If you find one that you like, you can email it to me. I've already given out my email address, but kim@theafterparty.live is a great way to reach me. Thank you for participating in trivia, even though maybe it wasn't a super challenge or we didn't learn a lot this time. It was still fun. And thanks for hanging out. And your chats today have been amazing. So please join me tomorrow. We'll do, again, meme of the week. I'm really proud of myself. Look at that. Meme of the week. We're doing it tomorrow. So email me your suggestions. Super thanks to all the people who have contributed to the After Party Live, keeping it on the air and making it so that I can continue to do this hour, or in this case, hour and 15 minutes with you. I'm sorry for keeping you so long, but I love hanging out and continuing this conversation. So thank you. Thank you. A million thank yous to everyone who has helped. A huge, huge after party aloha to you. And I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great afternoon and make it a great day. And bye-bye.
The After Party Live would like to thank the following contributors and viewers like you.